you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's April 23rd, 2009. I have a bit of a public service announcement for my listeners, and that is this. If you're sitting there in front of a large cup of coffee, or if you're about to pour one and it's anything other than decaf, I need you to set that cup down and step away. Because today's show is going to get you riled up enough. If you're also on a couple cups of coffee and all that caffeine, you're probably going to burst a vessel, either in your brain from the stupidity that you're going to learn about, or in your heart because of all of the adrenaline pumping through it. We're going to talk a little bit about this. We spoke last Friday about this whole treaty that Obama's pushing through the Senate so that if it were to get ratified, it would be in effect to gun control. In addition to that, if you happen to be a reloader, if you happen to be a gunsmith, anything like that, you're done. You're not going to be allowed to do any of that if this treaty goes through. Now, remember, I told you, go to 2aradio.com. Click on the link. You can go to a page that has a preformed letter that you can send to three different senators, the two in your state and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. On that same page with the letter that you copy and paste and add your name to the bottom of, there's a link to the contact information to all of the senators. You can get their email addresses and go right through there. Do that. You need to do that today. Even if it's not for the loss of your rights for owning guns or reloading ammunition or sending your gun off to a gunsmith, or if you are a gunsmith, then to the other people who do. Remember back in Germany, during the Holocaust era, during Hitler's reign, they would go in and they would, you know, take guns, they would take liberties, they would take people from this group, they'd realign themselves away from others in another group, and then finally got to the point where the entire society had been just piecemealed away to where they couldn't defend themselves, and now they're killing millions of people, not just Jews, but everybody else as well. And that's because people turned a blind eye when they would take something that didn't affect them. And the population that it was affected when they were starting to take these liberties was small enough, nobody really cared. This is a big piece of the puzzle, all right? Now, let me read this to you. Remember candidate Barack Obama, the guy who, quote, wasn't going to take away your guns? Well, guess what? Less than 100 days into his administration, he's never met a gun he didn't hate. A week ago, Obama went to Mexico, whined about the United States, and bemoaned before the whole world the fact that he didn't have the political power to take away our semi-automatics. Nevertheless, he didn't keep him from pushing additional restrictions on American gun owners, specifically this treaty, the Inter-American Convention Against Illicit Manufacturing and Trafficking of Firearms, Ammunition, Explosives, and Other Related Material. That's what it is. To be sure, this imponderable title makes it a really nasty piece of work. First of all, when the treaty purports to ban illicit manufacturing of firearms, this is what it means. Illicit manufacturing of firearms is defined as assembly of firearms or ammunition without a license. So that means you couldn't buy a stripped AR-15 lower, buy all the parts and put it together, and then put an upper on it. That'd be banned. Hence, reloaded ammunition or putting together a lawful firearm from a kit is clearly illicit manufacturing. So is hand loading and reloading of ammunition. A BB gun could be considered a firearm and taken away. How about that? How about trading out different parts? If you have a firing pin that breaks, you need a new one in there. Can you imagine? Go online, get this done during the break. I'll be back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so everybody's aware of this DHS report on right-wing extremism, right? Everybody's heard about this. I've talked about it on the show. We're all in awe that Janet Napolitano still has a job anywhere in America, especially as a secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. So blasting different groups, essentially if you believe in, well, smaller government, you don't want a one-world order. You kind of fight the whole idea of a one monetary system within the world or the Federal Reserve Bank, anything such as that at all, all right? So here's what I said. I said I want to be on the list. So we're going to make a call right now to DHS and see how this goes. Let me see here. Let me get this. It's dialed in. Here we go.
Department of Homeland Security, can you please hold?
Holding.
Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hello, I'm calling in regards to the April 7th release of the DHS assessment report of the right-wing extremism.
Yes.
I've read that assessment in its entirety and have concluded that I would most certainly be considered a right-wing extremist within the outline of that report. I'm calling today to, in effect, have my name added to the list of so-called right-wing extremists as outlined by that assessment.
Told.
This is the Department of Homeland Security public comment line. This is a voice mailbox. Please do not leave information regarding suspicious items or activities in this mailbox. Please dial 1-866-347-2423 with information regarding suspicious items or activities.
Hello, I am calling in regards to the April 7th release of the DHS assessment report of right-wing extremism. I've read that assessment in its entirety and have concluded that I would most certainly be considered a right-wing extremist within the outline of that report. I'm calling today to, in effect, have my name added to the so-called right-wing extremist list as outlined in that assessment so I can be sure that my name and other pertinent information is recorded correctly. I was transferred to this voicemail from a live person. Therefore, I don't want to leave it just with any normal voicemail. If you guys could maybe set up a link on the DHS.gov website so that myself and other alleged right-wing extremists can actually get our information on there correctly. That would be great if you could put out a press release. That would be wonderful once that's done so that we can all sign up. Or if you prefer, we can set up an independent website for that information and send the link to you. Either way, some sort of press release or announcement on your government website would be wonderful. I'll be checking that daily just to see that. Thank you. Okay, hanging up. All right, so there we go. Now hopefully we'll be able to sign up so we have the information there correctly. Can you imagine just the gall of Janet Napolitano and these other jackasses going so far as to violate our civil rights to go into there and say this is what you're looking for? You know something, we're allowed to do all of this stuff that you said on there. We can believe what we want to believe. We can say within an absolutely very wide, reasonable area what the hell it is we want to say. You, on the other hand, cannot. We have a phone call from John in Ottawa. I would imagine that's Canada. John, welcome to 2A Radio.
Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
Well, I have no clue as a Canadian what DHS is, but...
Department of Homeland Security. That's what was created directly after 9/11 so that essentially they could try to secure the country from outside terrorist interests. That's what DHS is.
Well, now I'm informed. I just wanted to comment about guns.
Please.
In Canada, we don't have semi-automatics. No, we just do shotguns and rifles. That's it. But you know what?
Tell me.
My grandfather's 10-gauge is sitting in the corner, and you know what? It's never killed anybody.
Yeah, you know, I've got a bunch of guns in my closet that haven't killed anybody either.
You know what? The worst thing I could do is shoot a duck.
Well, good. Ducks are delicious. As a matter of fact, I live right on a golf course, and there's a bunch of
ducks. Yeah, with garlic, too, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, You know, the secret to duck, John, is I got to tell you, the secret to duck, and you might already know this, to keep it from being greasy. You ever notice where when the ducks are in the water, they keep reaching back with their wing and their head back to their tail feathers? They have a kind of a gland back there that's a grease secretion. And after you start to prep the duck, you gut it, you clean it out, you feather the thing out, you pluck it, there's this very big fatty area right at the tail. Inside there's a grease secreting gland. If you cut that out before you prepare and cook the duck, well, in the preparation.
You're talking about the gland at his rear end, right?
Exactly. Then you don't have the greasy flavored duck. You already know that you're a duck hunter. A lot of people who are hunters and sports enthusiasts might not know that. Same thing on a goose, any of the waterfowl. And that's such a much better tasting duck after you cut that off. Would you agree?
Well, you know, usually I let my ex-wife clean them.
Maybe that's why she's
a good
girl
from Southern Italy.
Maybe that's why she's your ex-wife. John, I
anyway,
appreciate it.
What I wanted to comment about is I don't agree with this gun control issue.
Well, you know,
me, the gun,
you and I are seeing eye to eye. You and I see eye to eye. It's like this, John. It is not that guns themselves are evil. Guns can be in the hands of evil people, as can vehicles or baseball bats. More people.
I remember Archie Bunker. You remember Archie Bunker show?
Oh, yeah, sure. All in the Family. You better
believe. You remember when his daughter was talking about gun control in New York State?
Nah, I don't remember that episode.
What he said was, would you feel better, little girl, if they got thrown out a window? Good point, eh?
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely.
Anyway, right, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Basically, what I think John's trying to articulate there is if someone is hell-bent on wreaking some form of havoc or causing injury to somebody, a gun just seems to be an easier way to go. They could certainly do it a number of other ways. All right? Again, thanks, John, for the call. Okay, so we're going to move on. You know what? Actually, we're not going to move on. We're going to sit here because this is ridiculous. We have our government official puppets who have decided to clip their strings and go running amok by themselves like a bunch of wild, uncontrolled, ADD-ridden, behavioral problem children and start getting on us, who are truly the people who are in charge of what the hell is supposed to be going on. We put these people into office, into some sort of authoritative power, and give them some powers to do good things. And in fact, they're abusing these powers left and right and day after day. You've got Obama and his administration, Napolitano, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, all of these knuckleheads that are doing their very damnedest to alienate anybody who is a free thinker, who believes in the Federalist Papers and the Founding Fathers and the Constitution as written, not as interpreted, not as though it's a living, breathing document, which it is not. They are doing their best to discredit all of us and take our guns, which is something which is not popular within the United States, within the actual populace, the majority of the citizens of the United States. You know, and there's other people that have media positions that are, like in the major media, that are totally pro-gun, some that are totally anti-gun, most that are totally anti-gun. Look at the 2020 episode of April 11th, 2009, just a couple weeks ago. Totally gun slammed. Greta Van Susteren went down to Phoenix to the BATFE, the ATF office. And the ATF agent was, you know, showing, you know, some of these guns were purchased here in America. We intercepted before they went to Mexico. And we know they're headed to Mexico after post-arrest comments that were made by the arrestee, blah, blah, blah. Here's some ammunition that we found. Here's some stuff out of Yuma, Arizona. Then they actually go out to the firing range and they start shooting a bunch of guns, which were like the ones confiscated coming in from the southern Mexico border. Not a single gun that they shot on the range was anything that could ever be purchased in the U.S. and sent down to Mexico. Not a single one. Everything they had was fully automatic, including a fully automatic M16, a fully automatic AK-47. A fully automatic belt-fed M60 machine gun. The only thing they did fire that you could buy was a 50 caliber Barrett, right? And I love how these guys are trying to make an evil man out of Ronnie Barrett and his equipment. Ronnie Barrett is one of the few people who you can associate his name with military gun excellence. You know, you've got the Colt, Sam Colt, right? You've got Ronnie Barrett, You've got just there's only a couple of names that you can actually really apply AK, which would be for the Kalashnikov, the guy who actually designed the AK-47. Very few names in history that you can directly assign to doing good things with guns that go into the hands of the military and eventually into the hands of the civilian market. There was a thing on Meet the Press this last Sunday with Wayne LaPierre and the governor of Pennsylvania. The governor of Pennsylvania was asking Wayne. Now, quite honestly, I don't find Wayne to be a very good debater. Wayne goes in with an agenda. He goes in with statistics, which are good. But when it comes to direct debate, he doesn't think very quickly on his feet in a lot of areas. If you see, get a copy, a DVD copy of The Great Gun Debate, with that ridiculous woman from who's trying to get a UN-mandated treaty across the world to ban guns, right? So we can all be victims. This guy's saying to Wayne, he goes, tell me why there's a legitimate reason for these assault weapons, as he was calling them, with these large-capacity magazine clips, as he called them, which is a stupid, redundant, ridiculous statement. And Wayne didn't really address it. He said there are no functionality difference between those and other guns. In fact, there's a little bit, as I find it. However, here's the answer. You know, there's not a sporting purpose for these, Governor. They're not designed for a sporting purpose. You can go out and do some sport shooting with them. You know, do some competitions. But the thing is those are for defense. The Second Amendment is not written for hunting and sporting. The Second Amendment is written for defense. And when the bad guys come and the henchmen roll in, as they've done throughout history, throughout the world, and they're trying to do within the administration now, the armed populace may defend themselves. Some maniacs use these things as offensive weapons. That's when we grab out ours and we stop them as an armed populace, because the police are under no obligation to provide police protection. That's why. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, back to the insanity of what's going on within our officials. Now, I got to tell you something that just drives me nuts, is when the separation of powers is completely forgotten or negated or simply outright consciously ignored. Now, here's the way the separation of powers works. You've got the legislative branch, which creates the laws. And the national level, that would be up on Capitol Hill, that both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, and they both, each house needs to debate a bill, and they need to pass it, and then it becomes law. They sometimes pass bills that are a little different, and then they go back to the committees, and they hammer out the differences, and then it would end up going to the president's desk. The president is now a member of the executive branch. The president can do one of three things. He can sign it into law, or he cannot sign it, and within 30 days of it arriving on his desk, it will become law. That will be somewhat of a bit of a protest, and then before it becomes law. And then the third option is to veto it, and if he vetoes it, it goes back to both houses of Congress, and they would need to make the decision whether or not to vote on it again, where they'd have to have two-thirds majority. Okay, two-thirds, that means roughly 300 of the 435 representatives in the House would need to vote for it, and 66 of the 100 senators would need to vote for it. All right. That way, then it would override the presidential veto and become law from there. Now, this whole 30-day thing, that would be if the president has no interest in signing this law and having his name attached to it, but realizes there's way too many votes for it, they would override a veto, or there's a lot of public support to where he'd look like an ass if he signed it or if he didn't, so he just lets it sit there. Then the executive branch is responsible for enforcing the laws of the legislative branch. Then the judicial branch is there to interpret the laws and really interpret them as it comes to constitutionality and what the executive branch under police powers and prosecutorial powers can actually do. So in the executive branch, you've actually got a little bit of a mold there. You've got police is under there, and so are prosecutors, although prosecutors such as in the district attorney's office, the city attorney's office, at the federal level, the U.S. attorney's office, They're essentially under the executive branch, but they practice within the judicial branch as attorneys who are officially officers of the court. All right? You get all that? Additionally, it seems like the majority of the people in Congress in both houses are attorneys, so they are officers of the court by simply nature of having being an attorney, which that's not supposed to happen. In fact, if you read a very strict version of the Constitution, it's never been ruled on, anybody who's an attorney who otherwise gives up their rights to the bar and being an attorney, they should not be allowed to actually sit in any house of legislature. And I know a lot of people that have law degrees are listening to, oh, that's BS. Read the Constitution, guys. Read it. If you don't like it, look at having it change. Otherwise, if you're going to go into that form of life, into making laws and whatnot, you got to give up your bar. You can test for it again later. You pass it once, maybe you'll pass it again. Who knows? Not a big fan of attorneys. There's three or four that I've met that are good. I was at all their funerals. Kind of a joke. There's two or three attorneys that I know that are all right. One of them doesn't practice law at all anymore. As a matter of fact, the two attorneys that I know that I'm most friendly with, neither one of them practice law. They're just actually good, honest-to-God people doing other things. They'll advise on a couple of things, what they know, but they won't stand up on a pulpit like they know everything. Okay, so the real problem is when you get people such as police chiefs and sheriffs, and you get people such as district attorneys that decide that no matter what the judicial branch says, they're going to enforce a law that they so feel fit to do, even if it's a violation of rights. You know what? I've got my guys, and my guys have guns, and they wear badges. So they've got a lot of immunity and protection within that color of office. So I'm going to tell them to do what I want them to do, regardless of what comes out as some sort of legal opinion. This is exactly what's going on in areas of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin is one of only two states that does not have any provision whatsoever for concealed weapons permits. However, they do have a law. They're one of 29 states where you can carry open, non-concealed, a loaded handgun. Now, in fact, if you read D.C. versus Heller, D.C. versus Heller says you can do that throughout the country and her territories, throughout the U.S. and her territories. However, what we've got going on in Milwaukee is we've got a police chief who has decided, let me back up a moment. The Attorney General of Wisconsin wrote an opinion on what the way that law enforcement is to view armed citizens carrying open, unconcealed. All right? They wrote it out. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find it. I don't have it in front of me right now. I'll find it. Then you've got the response from the police chief of Milwaukee and a very similar response from the county sheriff of the Milwaukee County. An absolute total violation of what the attorney general said. Now, the way the pecking order works, the attorney general puts out their prosecutor, they're kind of in the balance between the executive and judicial branch. They read all the judicial stuff. They put out an opinion for the executive branch to follow, the police chiefs and sheriffs. These guys are an absolute violation of this. Wait till you hear. This is where I want you to make sure there's no more coffee in your system. So go use the head and come back. And then we're going to go through what's going on in Wisconsin when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Karnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so this comes out of Wisconsin, out of the Kenosha, Wisconsin newspaper. All right, while the state's top attorney says that it's legal for residents to carry unconcealed firearms in public, Milwaukee authorities say they won't stand for it. Here's a quote by Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn. Here's a quote. My message to my troops, notice he uses the word troops, is if you see anybody carrying a gun on the streets of Milwaukee, We'll put them on the ground, take the gun away, and then decide whether you have the right to carry it. You've got to be effing kidding me. The police chief said he's telling his troops, not his sworn police officer, his troops, as though they're some form of stormtrooper or some sort of paramilitary organization, that if you see somebody with a gun, we're going to put them on the ground. Now, the way you do that is you pull your gun out, you order them to put their hands in the air, turn away from you. Now, I'm telling you this because I'm a former police officer. Turn away from you, get on your knees, prone your hands and legs out, usually cross your ankles behind you, lift them up to your butt, they go and they get them, then they'll take the gun away. Of course, as you take the gun away in that position, you generally end up sweeping right across their back into their internal organs with this gun if you're right-handed and they're right-handed. Actually, in just about any situation, you end up sweeping across this person with their loaded gun. Then they'll hook you up, unload the gun generally, and then they will talk to you while you're under their control. You're handcuffed, you're dirtied from having been on the ground, and now they're going to talk to you. And they will then decide whether or not you have a right to carry the gun. Not that the Constitution of the United States, the Second Amendment, says that you have that right. Not that it's been reaffirmed in Heller versus D.C. in June 26th of 2008. Not that the state laws on the books within the state of Milwaukee says that you can do it. And not that the chief attorney general within the state of Wisconsin says that you can do it. But those cops are now going to decide. The cops don't have any decision-making authority on this. They don't. Not the individual beat cop. As a matter of fact, not even this hick-ass, hillbilly, out-of-his-mind police chief, Ed Flynn from Milwaukee, has the authority to make this decision. The judges have the authority to make the decision. And the executive branch needs to enforce that. You're under the executive branch there, Ed. You're under the executive branch. Continuing. He says, maybe I'll end up with a protest of cowboys. In the meantime, I've got serious offenders with access to handguns. It's irresponsible to send a message to them that if they just carry it openly, nobody can bother them. Now, I don't know where you went to police school. Something tells me out of the back of a Cracker Jack box. I probably have, if you're police chief, Ed, I'm sure that you have more time on the job than I did. I worked for 2 or 3 years on the streets of Vegas. And you've got to be kidding me with this. Maybe I'll end up with a protest of cowboys. So if you're carrying a gun exposed, you are now considered a cowboy in Ed Flynn's mind. Now, I want to know what his definition of a cowboy is. He's calling us cowboys. Now I want to know what his definition is. But, hell, I'm thinking, Dave Champion talked about this on his show yesterday. By the way, 3 o'clock Central Time, right here on RBN. And I called Dave up later that day, and I told him, I said, you know, sometime later this spring or in the summer, you and I should go to a Brewers game, you know, maybe a homestand, like where they're having a 3 or 4-game series in Milwaukee. And we could go there and, you know, take in a couple of games, carry our guns publicly, you know, as we would be allowed to, and really test this whole deal. Let me carry on with this. Meanwhile, in Kenosha County, their top cops said how their officers and deputies will respond to open-armed citizens won't be automatic and aggressive, depending on a number of factors, including the setting of behavior of the citizen involved. Now, that's just good police work. Just because someone's carrying a gun where it's legal doesn't mean you automatically go to see what's going on. Because, again, it's not the gun itself that's dangerous. It's within the hand of the people. So if somebody is showing that they're a dangerous or unstable person, well, you know, you might want to investigate what the hell their intent is with that gun. If they're reasonable and forthright and not doing anything wrong, you leave them alone. I live in Pahrump, Nevada. All kinds of people carry around here. You know, this would bend Ed Flynn's mind if he came to Pahrump and saw the number of people that carry openly. Absolutely bend his mind. I've had people from out of town look at me like I must be kind of crazy. A friend of mine that used to live here carried open all the time. And he was actually a world-class and national and international title-holding shooter. a lot of it with revolvers, named Rudy Waldinger, a guy who's born in Austria. He's been an American citizen for some time now. And I used to work with Rudy. He used to be a friend of mine. We lived a few blocks from each other. Now he's teaching classes up in California. I wish Rudy the best. And Rudy used to carry his Smith 6.45 revolver around town. And being from Austria, obviously he spoke fluent German. And once a week, it used to be, I don't know if they still do it, on Thursdays there would be a group of German tourists that would come through town from Vegas. They'd go to Death Valley, they'd stop, and they'd stop in an area where there was a grocery store, a couple of restaurants, and a casino, all in one little area. He was in the grocery store, and he heard a German woman tell her husband in German, "Look at this buffoon. He must think he's some sort of cowboy carrying a gun." Said it right there in front of Rudy, talking about Rudy, not realizing that he was Austrian. So he went up to her and said to her, in perfect German, he said, "You should consider your tone and volume a little more carefully when speaking around people. They might hear you." Said that to her in German. Of course, absolutely stoic and surprised at that point in time. But literally, what chance do you think I or Rudy or Dave Champion or anybody else would have in this town carrying an open gun of being attacked by some scumbag? Bad guys don't carry openly to try and skirt the law, because they know that at any time, if there's a gun there, police could have reasonable suspicion enough to at least inquire about it. And in this small town, the cops know the bad guys. And if the bad guys try to get away with carrying a gun, they're going to know they're a bad guy. They shouldn't be carrying a gun. They have convictions. All right? Carrying on. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen of Wisconsin issued a memo saying that the law allows carrying unconcealed weapons without a permit as long as it's done peacefully and within specified restrictions, such as not taking the gun into schools. Okay? Very reasonable information. Van Hollen's memo included that citizens have a constitutional right to openly carry firearms, and doing so cannot alone warrant arrest for disorderly conduct. Okay, a couple other guys said they agree with Van Hollen's interpretation of the law, but said how their personnel will respond unseen will be dictated by circumstances. Okay, that's reasonable. One of these guys, Morrissey, who's some chief law enforcement guy there, said that his main hope is that those who exercise the right to carry a weapon openly understand fellow citizens might react adversely, triggering calls to police. "And we are going to respond to those calls," he says. "I don't know that we're going to take them down. If it's an individual just walking down the street carrying a gun, we may just stop them and talk to them. Sometimes if someone's cutting their grass, just pushing more openly, wearing a gun, for whatever reason somebody might want to do that, we're not going to take them down." Like Morrissey, another chief of police with the last name of Best, cited nuanced police responses based on what deputies observed. He noted the difference between, for example, spotting someone toting a shotgun in a farm field in a rural area when hunting, which is a common thing to see, versus carrying the same weapon on a city or in a downtown. Now, duh, how many people are going to walk around with a shotgun or, say, a tack-slung AR-15 just for personal defense as they're out? That's not real likely to happen, and, folks, I do not recommend doing that. Don't push your luck. If you're going to carry a handgun, carry it in a holster, carry it exposed, carry it on your firing side, not one of these cross-draw deals unless you're in the car the whole time, and that's legal within your state, which actually D.C. versus Heller it is as well. All right, just be smart about it. We can't go over the top. Be smart about it. You're not going to walk around with an AR-15 tack slung all day long with a 30-round magazine stuffed in it with 26 or 27 rounds in the magazine with Hornady tap ammo in it, just going about your daily business. We're not going to do that. You carry a rifle if you expect to fight. You have a handgun if you want to defend yourself in case an unexpected fight comes to you. All right? "If I am in the city, I'll probably react just like Chief Flynn says in Milwaukee," Bess said. "In an urban area, that isn't the norm. What creates a disturbance is someone's perception of what's going on," Beth added. "If our officers see someone walking with a shotgun in the city of Kenosha, we're going to order him down, take it away from him, and ask questions afterwards." All right, that's great. So the Milwaukee County Sheriff, David Clark, echoed Flynn's response. How we approach a person with a gun, I can tell you right now, isn't going to change. As far as a law enforcement person is concerned, you just don't walk up to a person with a gun and say, excuse me, sir, Clark said. On the ground, give up. Get the gun under control, then we'll figure out what we've got here. That's what the sheriff of the Milwaukee County says. All right? So, here is a quote. The idea of people openly carrying guns strikes me as somewhat between bonkers and totally ridiculous and stupid, said State Representative John Zepnik, Democrat of Milwaukee. Well, you're an ignorant ass. I sent in this response to the newspaper, and it's now online for them. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn has just opened himself up and his entire department to civil and criminal penalties if his officers obey his illegal orders to detain anyone they come across who's exercising their constitutional right to carry an exposed gun in Wisconsin. Flynn's orders to, quote, put them on the ground, take the gun away, and decide whether you have a right to carry it, end quote, is a direct violation of countless articles of the Constitution and their affirmations by the U.S. Supreme Court. Police do not, under any circumstances, reserve the power to decide if any citizen has a right to carry out their rights, as Flynn suggests. For Flynn to even say that opens his entire department and himself as an individual to arrest for federal violation of a citizen's civil rights. That carries potentially severe criminal liabilities, including criminal liabilities, including fine and federal imprisonment, as well as almost unlimited civil penalties for Flynn, the officers carrying out Flynn's orders, and everyone within the chain of command between the involved officers and Flynn. Every sworn officer of the Milwaukee PD took an oath to defend the Constitution of Wisconsin and the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Flynn's orders to his officers command them to violate that oath, and the crimes of malfeasance under the color of office, violation of oath, and violation of civil rights. Although Flynn has the First Amendment right to free speech, when inciting illegal acts to be carried out by his officers while speaking in an official capacity, that presents a clear and present danger as outlined by Shenick versus United States 1919 U.S. Supreme Court to the citizens of Milwaukee who choose to exercise their guaranteed rights to legally and peaceably carry an exposed gun in Wisconsin. Flynn's orders are easily probable cause to affect citizens' arrest on him for violating the First Amendment as it pertains to Shenick versus United States. If any citizen in Milwaukee becomes a victim of the illegal action of Flynn's orders, then all involved can have citizens' arrests affected upon them for all of the above-listed crimes. Bill Carnes, 2A Radio. So there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, law enforcement does not retain the power to do as Flynn suggests unless police have a particularized, articulable reason to believe otherwise, all right? Such as, the part of town that somebody's in, the time of day they're in, would raise even a reasonable man's suspicion. Then they can go in there and check it out. All right. We have a caller on the line, Mike in Ottawa, Canada. Lots of folks from Ottawa calling in. Mike, welcome to 2A.
Yeah, I heard my twin brother called you earlier.
You guys actually related?
Yes, we're twins.
All right.
Anyway, I don't agree with him 100%. What I'm hearing from you is, do I agree with it?
Do you agree with what? What's the topic here?
About the gun issue.
Okay.
So you believe that people should be able to carry open weapons?
You bet your ass I do. I do. Because you know something? If a fight comes to me at that instant,
I'm not saying I disagree or don't agree.
Okay, well, I'm just solidifying my opinion. Give me a moment.
Okay.
All right? If somebody's going to bring a fight to me, generally they're going to be bad guys and they know how to do this. And they realize that absolute violence of action to overwhelm somebody in a mere instant is what they use to do that. I have got barely that mere instant to react. And I'm going to be behind the curve to begin with to grab my gun and defend myself if I feel an immediate, imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury from this attack. So, yeah,
I'll tell you my opinion.
Go ahead, Mike.
When I was in Bosnia, I refused to carry a sidearm.
Okay.
You know what the reasoning is?
No.
If I don't have a weapon, nobody can take it from me and kill me.
Well, then that is a training issue. That is not a a piece
this
of gun.
This is soldier versus police issue, right?
No, what it is it's a training.
Well, you're a policeman. You have a different attitude, obviously.
No, I'm okay.
The way I thought about it.
Listen, Mike. You can't just call up and take control of the show here. All right, here's the deal.
No, I'm not trying to.
Listen, Mike. I was a police officer in Las Vegas. I left in May of 96. 13 years ago is when I left. I'm coming from a position of a citizen
who's, with my opinion?
Who is also a professional trainer. If you're afraid somebody's going to take a gun away from you and use it against
that's
you.
That's the way I thought about it.
Okay, that is a training issue from how you carry it and how you use it. I'm not afraid of anybody taking the gun from me, from the type of holster I use, where I carry it, how I do it. And it's funny. You know when most people walk, their arms swing opposite their legs?
That's just my opinion. Eh?
I'm not getting angry. I'm trying to make it clear here.
You that's
know when
the
most,
way I thought back then.
Okay. Listen for just a second, Mike. You know when most people walk and their arms swing opposite their legs?
Yeah.
You know, like your right leg goes forward, your left arm goes forward. What's interesting is you can often tell people who are carrying if one of those arms doesn't swing very far because it's over their gun. And that's the way I walk. That's a kind of a telltale sign if I'm carrying concealed to bad guys. They'll notice that. Other good guys often notice that, too.
Sir, you were saying I was wrong to think that way?
No, I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm telling you it was a training issue. Right or wrong, it was a training issue.
You're saying I was trained wrong.
I'm not.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
You may have been trained wrong, or you didn't get the training that you needed to overcome the thought that maybe somebody would get your gun from you. So it's a training issue either at the behest of whoever was training you or any training that you didn't carry on with. But it was definitely a training issue, in my opinion. And I got to tell you, I've trained probably 15,000 people to shoot guns in the last couple decades. Thanks for the call, Mike. More when we return from the break. Stay tuned.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, welcome back. All right. In fact, I really do believe what Mike said. You know, when he was in Bosnia, he didn't carry a gun because he didn't want it taken away from him and used on him. Well, the only people who are going to take a gun away from you are somebody who don't already have one. Would you agree? If they have one, and they see you have one, well, now the playing field is balanced. If a bad guy has a gun and you don't, if a bad guy, he doesn't even necessarily have to have a gun. He just has to be able to have some form of a weapon or be bigger, badder, stronger, and more physically fit than you, and you're already at a disadvantage. You carry a gun, now you have the advantage, and they're less willing to go after you. If you both have guns, now it's an even playing field. To be afraid that somebody's going to take the gun away from you and use it against you is totally a training issue. You've got to learn how to hold that gun, carry that gun, use that gun, and in fact, be able to retain that gun if somebody gets their hands on it. Keep in mind that most handgun fights happen within about arm's reach, either during or directly after breaking off from a physical confrontation. So you have to be able to train right up close and personal. You set up your targets and hands reach away, get that hand back away, and you have to be able to shoot within that area. I don't recommend going out and training yourself how to do that. Guys, that's dumb. That's like learning how to drive a car and never even been a passenger in one or only been a passenger a couple of times. All right, don't do that. Go find yourself some professional training. You want some professional training? You know, just look up, you know, Thunder Ranch, fantastic. Clint and Heidi Smith, wonderful, wonderful people up in a beautiful place up in Oregon. All right, you got Gunsight down in Arizona. You got Frontsight in Nevada. You've got places throughout the country. You've got, you know, Blackwater changed their name, but they're out on the East Coast. All right, you got T1G, Tier 1 Group, great guys. You got those guys in Memphis, in the Memphis area. All right, just wonderful people. Steve Reichert, CEO of T1G, great guy. Anyhow, go get yourself some training with that. When it comes down to what we're really getting at, when it comes to this thing in Wisconsin, is the chief of police of Milwaukee and his sheriff counterpart within the county of Milwaukee have both let themselves wide open to citizen's arrest if someone actually gets put down as they suggest. Someone's just walking down the street. That's why I called Dave and I said, hey, let's pick up a Brewers home game stand sometime. We'll fly in and go to Milwaukee and carry our guns. And if this happens to us, wow, you know, we'll actually set the stage. They'll put us down, take our guns, violate our rights. And then from there, we'll sue them for violation of civil rights and actually perform citizen's arrests and prosecute them criminally for doing that. And I wouldn't be so much interested in doing it to the actual police officers who are following orders. However, they have the right to say, this is an illegal order. I will not follow this illegal order. As a matter of fact, we had a change of opinion when I was a police officer once, and the lieutenant came in and said, this is the way I think we ought to do it. That's pending an opinion by the district attorney. Well, I told the lieutenant, and I was a rookie at the time. I mean, I was just wet behind the ears out of field training, and I said, Lieutenant, that's quite honestly an illegal stance when it comes to constitutionality. I'm not so sure you want to take that stance. I couldn't do that because of the oath that I swore to. So he said, well, then let's just hold off until the district attorney gets a look at it. Folks, I appreciate you listening. Go to 2aradio.com. You can see your archives there. Send those letters off to the senators and be here tomorrow. Listen to Dave Champion at 3 today. I'll be on his show with him.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Fuel your freedoms. The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.